Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Fantastic newscast.
Thank you, sir.
Maybe your best ever.
And thank you very much. Yep. And happy Sunday after Thanksgiving.
Happy Sunday after Thanksgiving to you, too. Andy, happy Thanksgiving, Sunday after whatever he just said.
Happy Sunday after Thanksgiving to
and
you.
And happy Sunday after Thanksgiving, Andy.
Well, thank you. Right back at you.
You can give your fake greetings also to Elton Jim Toronto.
And happy Sunday after Thanksgiving, Elton.
Happy Sunday after Thanksgiving to
Elton
you
is
both,
here.
Andy and Schwann.
I invited Elton Jim to be here last week so we could recap our spectacular show at Tree Time.
The raves are still coming in.
But he was too busy.
Well.
Oh.
I was.
He chose Elton John over
us Dean.
For some reason.
Boy, oh boy.
Did you do the recap?
Yeah.
Yeah? How did that go? Was it as fun as the show?
It was as fun as these first couple of minutes of the show.
Yeah, right now.
But I want to start the show off with something that Elton Jim and I both noticed this morning. We stopped by the newsroom to say hello.
Just to warm up the troops.
Yeah, say hi to Andy and Schwani.
I've only been here since 4 this morning.
So. We all like to grasp hands and say a few words of inspiration.
A kumbaya moment.
Yeah, before each show we do
some affirmatives.
Yeah, and we noticed Schwani on Schwani's what is that?
It's a jacket
you're wearing.
He's got a fleece jacket. It's got
velour. Is it a velour?
This is my official newsroom fleece jacket.
Members only.
From 1956.
Efforts only.
That he'd be pretty. Wouldn't be able to fit in.
But here's what we notice: that you still have the sticker on it that says "I voted."
I keep forgetting to take it off.
It's like he's got a backstage pass from like a concert he went to seven months ago. It's all bent,
frayed.
Well, it's bent. Like you know when the sticker part of the sticker gets unsticky, it's flapping over.
Yeah.
Was that your Humphrey vote? From 68 or what?
I like Ike.
I don't even remember. Was there an election recently?
He was very big on Aurelia Puchinski.
No, Roman. He voted for Roman.
Well, Schwani, I'd like you to leave that. I'm just curious how long it's going to stay on there by itself. Originally, I was going to say take it off.
Now you have to do an update every week.
I just want to, if there's a way we could put a time-lapse camera on it, so people can
see more frayed it can become.
Yeah, so people can go to the website and take a look at Schwani's I voted sticker.
Here, right here.
Because you can't
see it right now.
It'll be interesting to see, like, so what's the next part that's going to get old and unsticky? The top part, the bottom, because the side right now is kind of flapped over there.
I'm betting on the top.
It is dirt. Oh, it's ripped.
I told you. That's what I'm saying.
It's ripped.
Well.
Oh, my goodness.
Just go to WGNradio.com and click on Schwani's I voted sticker cam.
Oh, a separate cam.
Yeah, I want a time-lapse of a camera on it at all times. So
it was even worse. He voted for Darren Bailey, so he didn't even... He didn't even get a winner.
What does that mean?
No, I mean, you know, he was all proud.
Political. Don't get political here.
No, I'm just saying he didn't get a winner.
Great. All right, we'll let the hate mail begin.
Take your pants off.
Oh, what sad news we start off today's show with. The death of singer, songwriter, Academy Award winner, Irene Cara, who... not only had this as one of her greatest hits, Flashdance, Oh What a Feeling, but also the theme song from the movie Fame.
Well, she lied then, because she said she was going to live forever.
Memory lives on forever.
Ah.
Memory lives on forever. This recording we're listening to, by the way, from the TV show Solid Gold.
Oh.
Remember that back in the day?
Marilyn McCoo,
Andy Gibb,
who then passed away. I think one of the reasons he fell into a depression was because he kept missing tapings.
Because he was on the show?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's pretty... And then, was Denny Terrio on that later?
That was Dance Fever.
Oh, Dance Fever, right.
These are some pretty classic shows, but this was when a song was a song, right here. I love this song.
Doesn't it just make you want to sit under a chair and dump water on your head?
I watched the video. I watched the video from...
We could recreate that if you want to.
Save it for next year's Tree Time show. And that was actress Jennifer Beals.
Right.
Although
I don't believe it was her. Do you remember the big controversy that was actually a model who did that scene? It was not Jennifer Beals who did that. They made a big, because the woman who did that became such an iconic scene and such an iconic image. And then this woman who was the body double or whatever, she said, "Hey, that's me." And she was trying to cut a career out of being the one who was in the chair when the water dumped
out. Yeah, it worked out really great for her, too.
And who's Jennifer Beals now, right?
Right. Well, I mean, she's around still working. But anyway, the sad news about Irene Cara, they have not released the cause of death. The family has not released it yet. She was only 63 years old. You know, we were just remembering some of... Of course, she was in... She won an Academy Award for co-writing that song.
Oh, she co-wrote that?
Yeah. With Giorgio Moroder, remember?
Oh, he was the big disco guy.
The big disco dude.
Yeah.
She got two Grammy Awards for Flashdance, nominated for two Grammy Awards for Fame, but she was also in the touring production of Jesus Christ Superstar. She's had a pretty decent career, and people like John Leguizamo this morning on social media saying... if it wasn't for Irene Cara, I never would have thought that a Latino could make it on a big scale.
Really?
That she inspired him to say, I can go on to do bigger and better things. Hmm. So,
well, she did have a good run because those two songs came out fairly,
early 80s.
Yeah, but almost on the back of each other.
Early 80s, So we're sad about all of that.
That's why I have my black armband.
Last week we kind of recapped the Tree Time show, but since you're here, you were on your Elton John tour.
Yeah,
I was going to see the final shows in Los Angeles. Yeah. But we had a blast, didn't we? We had a blast.
That was so
Tree Time.
Fun.
We had much fun this year.
I've heard so many positive things. I think you got to have Eddie back.
Eddie Carosa.
The polka band.
Yeah, just Eddie Carosa added. Jr., yep.
We missed Andy.
You did. I was here in spirit.
Well, you were there in voice because we heard you for that hour we weren't on.
Yeah, that was Andy, hanging out with Happen OB.
Andy is swimming with bigger fish these days.
Well, you know, he's upwardly mobile.
Yeah.
He saw a chance.
Can't blame him. He's a married man now.
Right.
Yeah.
So you got to
look out for the future.
Got to put food on the table,
Right.
We did miss Andy at the broadcast, but we had a blast.
We didn't eat anything in your honor, like weird.
Well, thank you.
Crickets or pickles or whatever.
Because I would have sensed it from here.
you would have gotten a gag reflex.
Yes, exactly.
Many miles away. But Elton Jim was at the final three Elton John shows in North America in Los Angeles last weekend. That's why he couldn't join us. Last week, and I'm sure spectacular.
I thought it was adorable that some people even asked if I was going. Are you going? I'm like, I've been to 200 and some shows, and I'm not going to go to the last three in the United States.
I'm surprised you went to all three, though.
Really?
I thought maybe you would just go to the last
one. No, you got to go to all three. Because actually, each show, while it was the same, was different. You know, they filmed the last one was on Disney Plus.
Right.
But they did film all three, and I think they were doing that for continuity standpoint because he wore the same outfits each night so that if they
have alternate
takes and stuff like that.
So you were at the shows then where Kiki D.
That was the last
did Don't Go Breaking My Heart,
which was really cool.
Who else did he do?
Yeah, he had Dua Lipa, Oompa Loompa.
Dua Lipa. They did the song, the current hit. Cold Heart.
And then Brandi Carlile came out and sang Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me. Kind of doing that duet that he did some years later, what was the number one hit with George Michael. She kind of did that. She had a really nice outfit. It was kind of Dodger-ish. Mm. And I don't know if you saw any pictures, but what was really cool was he certainly can't fit into the sequined Dodger uniform
jacket
that he made.
I noticed he had a very flowing bathrobe.
Yeah, and it was so funny because, you know, when you sit on a chair with a robe, you know, you have to make sure that
everything's covered.
Well, no, but then you get hunched. If you don't push it out a little, then you get kind of stuck because it gets tight.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't do that.
Oh.
So then he's sitting there, and then it opens.
Oh, jeez.
Now he's trying to.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, and it just like looked like your grandpa like going, what the hell is going on?
Well, yeah, well.
But it was cool. I mean, it was a nice little throwback, you know, to that sequin, Bob Mackey.
That famous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, but it was really a fun show.
I had a nice time. Dodger Stadium.
Oh, yeah. It was.
Can't beat that. And I think it's streaming still, right?
You can watch it on Disney. And they had 30 cameras, two drones, and a helicopter.
Now, is the one that's on Disney Plus, is that the one where he gives you a personal shout-out?
No, I got a shout-out on Saturday. That's why you go to all three, indeed.
To get the shout out.
To get the shout out, you know. But yeah, I had my little sign. And
what do the signs say?
It just says concert number.
Don't leave me.
And then my name.
Now what'll I do with my spare time?
When the last show was done, I was down in the front with a couple of diehard fans that I've met around the country. And that's exactly, I looked at them and I said, now what do we do? Now, he does have more shows. I mean, those are the last U.S. shows.
Europe and Australia.
Yeah, he's going to Australia in January.
Have you ever seen him in another country?
Oh, yeah. I've seen him in England several times. And then I went to Prague one time and saw him in Prague. Yeah.
Has he ever actually thanked you for putting the in-ground pool at his house?
Oh, yeah. I put in quite a few different wings.
In quite a few dollars in Elton John Enterprises.
But it was very cool. I mean, he was very emotional on the last show, especially. It was very fitting because not only did he do these historic shows in 1975 at Dodger Stadium, which were historic because at the time in 75... rock stars, you know, the Beatles played the outdoor stadiums because they were that big. But Elton was the first musical act. I mean, now we see people at baseball stadiums and in football stadiums all the time. But back in 75, they were certainly filling up arenas, but not outdoor stadiums like that. And so what was so historic about those shows at Dodger Stadium was he had two sold-out shows, and he was the first act to play Dodger Stadium since the Beatles in 1966. Mm-hmm. So that was a big thing. And he played 110,000 people.
Right.
And in 1975, that was really his pinnacle year. He had, you know, number one albums and number one singles, Philadelphia Freedom and all that stuff. It was kind of neat about this, not only playing there again to end his things, but L.A. is where he got his real stardom.
Was it the Troubadour?
The Troubadour, which is still there.
Well, nightclub on Santa Monica Boulevard.
Yeah, it's in West Hollywood. And it's
next
still
to one of my favorite restaurants.
Dantana's.
There. Dantana's Italian restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it was kind of nice because that is where he played. He was unknown, walked in there, blew the house, and got this great L.A. Times review, and then his life was never the same. So
I saw the movie Rocket Man. I'm familiar.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
I'm familiar.
But it was very cool to be there. There were people from people from Australia there. I mean, if you were an Elton John fan of any measure, you were at one of those Dodger Stadium shows because don't forget, these were supposed to be the end of the tour, but because of COVID, so these would have had even more impact. Yeah. But it was really cool, and it was nice. Good. He gave me the little shout out, and so
very nice.
Yeah,
very nice. Did he say anything like, "Hey, you work with Schwani? What's how do I get on this far flung forecast?"
And why does he still have his "I voted" sticker on?
Did he mention anything about Schwani at all at the last concert? We'll take a break and get to that coming up next.
Here's Chicago's very own WGN.
Captain Fantastic Schwan.
Dave, I voted Schwan.
Thank you very much, Uncle Dean. Folks, get out your compasses and protractors because I believe we are going just about as far away as we have ever gone.
Putting the far in far-flung
forecast. Very, very far.
Oh, wow.
We are going to a city called Anfa, Morocco. Anfa, Morocco,
Anfa,
which is a city that has probably been around for 3,000 years. No kidding. It was used as a port city by the Phoenicians and the Romans. But somewhere, maybe about 1,500 years ago or so, the city of Anfa became a better known name, Casablanca.
Huh.
And we bring up Casablanca because 80 years ago yesterday, The film Casablanca, starring Humphrey Bogart and Ingrid Bergman, was released. And I've got an audio clip of that final scene, which is one of the great scenes of all time.
It's an audio far-flung forecast.
In motion pictures. Humphrey Bogart as Rick, of course, and Ingrid Bergman as Ilsa.
But what about us?
We'll always have Paris. We didn't have, we lost it until you came to Casablanca. We got it back last night.
When I said I would never leave you.
And you never will. But I've got a job to do, too. Where I'm going, you can't follow. What I've got to do, you can't be any part of. Ilsa, I'm no good at being noble, but it doesn't take much to see that the problems of three little people don't amount to a hill of beans in this crazy world. Someday you'll understand that. Looking at you, kid.
Wow. Yeah, that's a great scene, boy. But it's no bones at all.
Dean's no. List F.
Casablanca, Morocco.
That movie would have been much better if someone had eaten somebody else.
If he would have eaten the visas.
Casablanca, cannibals.
Play it again, Sam. You played it for her, you play it for me, or I'll eat your hand.
Yeah, eat the piano. Eat Dooley Wilson's hands as he's playing the piano. There he is.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world.
She comes into mine.
She walks into mine.
Yeah. Do you have the very end with...
I don't know why I want to do Edward G. Robinson with it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, see? You played it for her, you played it for me. See? Yeah.
Do you have him with Louis, with Claude Rains at the very end?
I saw that. I don't have that handy here, but the final line...
Darn.
This is the beginning of a beautiful friendship. Casablanca is 7 hours ahead of us. It is 4:18 there, or 4:30.
Wow, 4:18.
Now we're giving time zones.
Sunny skies and 70.
Train connections, come to gate number 35. Oh, the holiday feeling is spreading around Chicago. 9:38, and this is Dean Richards Sunday morning. Joining us, always a nice treat when we have Dr. Robert Murphy joining us, professor of infectious diseases, Northwestern University Feinberg's School of Medicine. Happy holiday weekend to you, Dr. Murphy. Nice to talk to you.
Yes, happy holiday to you.
So, it seems like everywhere you turn right now, everybody has got some kind of respiratory deal going on. Lots of people have the good old-fashioned flu, we're having some bouts of COVID right now. What are you seeing? What kinds of types of people are coming in with ailments right now?
Well, yeah, you hit the nail on the head there. And we expect this every winter to have an increase in respiratory infections. I mean, this just happens. The flu comes right about now. It came 6 weeks early. But this is much more of a crisis than previous years. And so why is that? It's a couple of reasons. One is you have on top of flu and respiratory syncytial virus, which we call RSV, you have COVID. COVID wasn't around before. So that's just like an add-on. But there's a couple other factors that are going on. One is that the staffing at the hospitals is way off. It's way down. 500,000 healthcare workers quit in September alone.
Wow.
One in five medical doctors are going to quit in the next 2 years. They can't take it anymore. And so you put the staffing together with the regular infections, plus add COVID on top of that, and then kind of the unusual thing, or something people generally don't think about, is that because of COVID in 20 and 21, when people were mitigating, everybody was wearing a mask, those other infections went way down. Right. Remember, there was hardly any flu in 2020.
Nobody was getting a cold. All the
usual. Nobody got any immunity from all of the infections that were there, especially kids. And so that, on top of everything else, those three things are driving this crisis.
Wow. So what do we do about the hospital shortages then? If people need to go to the hospital for emergencies, obviously, but does that mean that elective issues, mammograms, things like that are you know, going to go unchecked now because there are fewer people to take care of patients?
Well, the things are going to be tight. And in some places, elective procedures have been canceled because the staff is just too busy taking care of all these people with the respiratory infections. This is particularly true in pediatrics because the capacity in pediatrics is, of course, much less than in adults, a smaller sort of group anyway, and they just can't keep up.
Wow. So what do people do then if they need to? Is this where the immediate healthcare offices come in handy, where people can at least see someone? Presumably.
Yeah, they can see someone, right? Things aren't completely hopeless. Let's start there. But each one of those points I brought up really has a different way to improve things. The number one thing that people can do is get your flu vaccine and take your COVID booster. That is going to be the biggest thing that we can do. The second thing is, if you're sick, don't go out in the public. Don't mix with people, even your own family, you know, while you're feeling sick. You've got to isolate yourself or at least wear a mask when you go out, and just be careful. I mean, this is just common sense.
Yeah. Okay. That you know, definitely makes sense because this time of year, especially right when people going to holiday parties, they're getting together. You know, in many cases, people haven't been with their families for Thanksgiving, for Christmas, for office parties. All that's been canceled the last few years, and this year people are doing it again. Maybe not such a good idea.
I've known five people in the last week and a half that came down with COVID.
And the reporting for COVID is crazy because, you know, the home test, most people are diagnosing themselves at home, and none of that gets reported. All those people that you said just got infected, most likely none of that even got reported in the statistics. The statistics do report everybody that goes in the hospital and everybody who dies. And those numbers for COVID, they're there. They're not really spiking yet, but they expect that spike. If it's anything like the last 2 years, will happen in very late December or early January.
Yeah, let's get to some calls for Dr. Robert Murphy. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. 381-981-7200 is our text line. And this is Jim on the line. Hi, you're on WGN.
Good morning, everybody. Hey Doc, what kind of a coverage are we seeing with the Since we've got a perfect match with COVID vaccine, we got a perfect match with the flu vaccine, which should give us, 90% coverage on this and very little breakthrough if people just get vaccinated?
So the vaccines are not 100%. However, they definitely help. And you have to look at it in terms of the public health approach. Even if a vaccine works 50%, that has a huge impact in the population at large. And the flu vaccines are approximately 50% effective. The COVID vaccines are very effective in keeping people out of the hospital. So they prevent more serious disease than infections. So, but if you're up to date on your vaccines, that's the biggest thing that we can do as a community to slow this thing down.
Where are you?
We've got actual matches here. Excuse me, Dean. I'm sorry.
No,
we have actual matches here with the what's going on in the flu world with two out of the four things that are in our flu vaccine this year match what's going on. We have a direct match with the Omicron. We got to be better than 50%.
That's that's a really good point. And what is happening now because of COVID and all the emphasis on respiratory infections and the new vaccines, the mRNA vaccines, they are now looking at different technologies. The current flu vaccine technology is 30 to 40 years old. It's an old, old-fashioned vaccine. And so newer vaccines are being developed as we speak. So, you know, that's going to help a lot.
Appreciate your call, Jim. Thank you very much. Doctor, how are we comparing with other countries? I know during the worst of COVID, we were constantly looking at what was happening in Israel and other countries that seemed like they were handling things a little better, honestly, than we were. How are we comparing right now with other parts of the world?
Yeah, that's a good point. Other parts of the world are also having an uptick in all these infections, for many for the same reasons. However, the United States, in terms of vaccination rate for COVID, which is accounting for a lot of this, as you mentioned, comes in basically last of our high-income, large country partners. We're 20 out of 20 of the top 20 countries. And then if you look at the top 10 states, the 10 top states with the highest vaccination rate, they kind of do like all the other big countries, European countries and Japan, Australia, New Zealand. But the bottom 10 states are about 50% vaccinated, and they're doing, of course, the worst. So, you know, that's how this whole thing plays out. The United States, of course, is so big and so diverse and heterogeneous that, you know, you've got parts of the country that are doing much worse than other parts.
Let's take a quick break. We'll come right back with Dr. Robert Murphy from Northwestern and your phone calls and questions for him, 312-981-7200. Dr. Robert Murphy, professor of infectious diseases, Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine, on the line with us. And interestingly, after all this time, a very basic question, Dr. Murphy. Here is somebody saying, good morning, Dr. Murphy. When ought we be wearing masks? Now, you think that we would know that after these 3 years. But at this stage of the game, when should we be wearing our masks?
Well, with the crisis that's going on now, we should be wearing a mask in any crowded indoor situation. We should be wearing it on buses and trains. We should be wearing it on airplanes. And you can do this. You see people on the subway, you know, about maybe 10% of people wearing masks. Why isn't it 80 or 90%? Same thing with the airplanes and the airports. I mean, the airports, I came into O'Hare a couple weeks ago. You know, I think less than 5% of people were wearing a mask. And we're all crammed in the room trying to get through immigration. I mean, that is just, you know, an accident waiting to happen.
Yeah, as I like to now call it, the world's largest Petri dish.
If you want to get exposed to like a couple thousand people who just came in from everywhere around
right.
the world,
right.
go to O'Hare.
Yeah. Right, right. Vaccinistan coming from all kinds.
Well, we wore it on the plane to L.A. for 4 hours. I'm sorry, but that's what you do. I mean, I wasn't going to. Yeah,
it's just not.
You can do it.
I mean, just not a big deal.
I've noticed in Chicago anyway that people that are wearing a mask are not being harassed. They're just people. Just let them do it. There should be more people wearing a mask, though. And people who are ill, like I mentioned before, should be isolating at home if at all possible.
Yeah, I mean, that's. I think that's a pretty important point. And people don't. They're like, oh, I've got things to do. I'm so busy. It's like, that's... Mm-hmm.
Well, the message has been so mixed over the last year.
And politicized.
Politicized. And, right. You know, the president said it was over, and then it wasn't. And then, I mean, the head of the CDC got it twice.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and Dr. Murphy, don't you think that there is, you know, there's a perception that if you get a vaccine, that you are immune from it? That's not what the vaccine is, right?
Well, no, you are immune, but the immunity you have may not be enough to prevent an infection. Most likely, it's just going to prevent getting serious disease. So, you know, it's kind of a change in our thinking in terms of vaccine for COVID anyway.
Yeah.
But for flu, too, you know, having some immunity to flu is better than no immunity to flu. That's for sure.
Yeah.
If I test positive, should I call my doctor or should I just wait it out?
Positive for COVID or positive?
Yeah, for COVID. Should I call my doctor or should I just wait and let it?
Well, you should call your doctor because you may be eligible for even more protection by taking the drug Paxlovid. It's a pill drug. The pharmacist can give it out even without a doctor's order at this particular point. It works very well whether you're vaccinated or not, up to date on your boosters, and probably most of the people up there are not up to date on their boosters. This is a national fact. So you should call your doctor because if you're eligible for the Paxlovid, the doctor can tell you how to take it and where to go and whatever.
This is Kelly on with Dr. Robert Murphy at 312-981-7200. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Dean. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm going to Vegas on Tuesday. Now, I'm concerned about the mask wearing. Of course, I'm vaccinated 5 times, you know, 3 boosters already. I remember back in the beginning when COVID came out, we were wearing masks because we were keeping our germs to ourselves. And so I was protecting you. You were protecting me. But if I'm the only one wearing the mask, aren't the germs from the other folks going through my mask and getting into me?
No, this is a very practical question, and I appreciate you asking it. If you wear a mask, you do get some protection. The virus in the little droplet that it's in gets clogged up in that little blue mask that you're wearing. If you're wearing the N95 mask, it's even better, but those are tough to wear all the time. Now, if the other people wearing a mask, you get like double protection because, you know, it's everybody's masking. So you can't get the virus out of one person, and it's harder to get into the other person. But just you wearing a mask is going to give you some protection.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe double mask it. That might help. Also,
double masking is very reasonable. Yeah. That's not a joke. No, yeah. 2 masks are better than one.
Good luck, Kelly, and win lots of money when you go to Vegas.
Good luck.
Yeah. Dr. Robert Murphy, always a pleasure to talk with you from Northwestern's Feinberg School of Medicine. Hope you have a great Sunday, Dr. Murphy. Happy holiday season to you.
Great. You too. Happy holidays.
Since we have just a mini show today, you want to go Christmas caroling when we get done with the show?
Why, sure.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay.
I only sing Christmas carols now as Jimmy Durante.
Now Frosty was a snowman.
That's my new song style.
That was when you did that. That I have to say, that was so inspired. People, if they don't know, for the hour that we were off at Tree Time while they were doing the Hamp and OB show, we were entertaining the crowd with karaoke. Did you explain
on
the story?
On Facebook Live.
Yeah. And that's right. It's on Facebook Live. And so I decided to do my impersonation of Jimmy Durante singing Frosty the Snowman from the famous cartoon.
Yeah.
You know. And so I'm doing that thing, you know, and Frosty the Snowman was a jolly happy. So it was fun. And so then Dean goes next and he's all serious and he says, do we have Yesterday by the Beatles? He's asking the engineer. He says, because I'd like to do a special rendition. And I'm looking at Dean like, oh, I mean, listen to his voice. I mean, he looks like he's really going to.
Like I'm going to do a serious song.
He's going to pull out some, like he must do this at home for the family or thing. And all of a sudden he goes, yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away.
It was a last-minute decision.
Oh, man, that was so great. Now, my question was, were you paying homage to me or mocking me?
Mocking you.
Okay, good. I figured as much.
Yeah, I was mocking you. Hey, speaking of the Three Bears.
We were?
You just mentioned it. But Andy, no Justin Fields today, huh?
Yeah, it doesn't look like it. I think it's the right move, personally. The guy has had the separated shoulder with some partially torn ligaments he's been dealing with since the Atlanta game, the very last drive of the game. And, he was in practice, but he wasn't really doing a whole lot. And at 3-8, you know, I would say, listen, don't tempt the fates here.
Don't push it.
How about for out? Yeah. I mean, do you think they put him down for the rest of the season?
No, I don't. I think what they should do, and of course they won't listen to me, and I'll run this by Hamp and OB as well, but they should sit him out next week against Green Bay, and then there's the bye week, so he basically gets 3 weeks off, missing 2 games, and then would come back for the game after the bye.
Okay.
But that's, you know, I mean, that's common sense, and I know that, listen, there's a lot of people that want them to tank so they get the number one pick. I think that might have been the thought process going into this whole thing. But those guys are competitors. They want to win no matter what. And I'm sure that Justin Fields will lobby hard for not missing the rest of the year.
More on the Andy Mazur show featuring Hamp and OB.
Yeah, right.
Andy cowls in the background.
Every time I say that, Andy goes into the fetal position.
I love when they're screaming, all of a sudden you hear Andy go, that the next break brought to you break. By.
Yeah. They got so worked up last week against Atlanta in the post-game show that my dad was listening on the app in Florida and texted me, are you okay?
Yeah. You could hear his voice like stammering, like I'm afraid to even say anything.
It's all coming up at 11 o'clock. Stick around.
That's the Bob Newhart theme right there.
I love this. I love this song. 1013 Dean Richards. Off the holiday season. This is my favorite version of this is Donnie Hathaway.
Yeah.
This is CeeLo Green.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Gnarls Barkley?
Gnarls Barkley. That's correct.
I'm up with the music from the 2015s.
From the 1990s.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I'm up with the new sounds.
I'm enjoying seeing the holiday decorations. I put up my tree yesterday.
We've had our stuff up since November 9th.
Of course you have. Of course you have.
But there was a rule. I didn't let anybody outside world know until we came home from Thanksgiving dinner. Then I turned the outside lights and opened the windows. Nobody knew. Outside, it still looked Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
inside, winter wonderland.
You think a lot of people are wondering what's... Well, now that I think of it, probably in your neighborhood, a lot of people are wondering what's going on inside the Jim Toronto house.
Oh, when they see, like, when I walk out, they're like, oh, there's that guy.
There's that guy. There's the guy with the brooch.
We've heard about him. Oh, yes, I should say, the festive pin has made its official debut on my lapel of my coat.
Of course it has. Of course it has. Yeah, so, you know, everyone's getting into the holiday spirit. We are over at WGN-TV. With our two Bozo specials that we ran on Thanksgiving, Bozo Circus the 1960s and Bozo Circus the 1970s. Really fun to watch. I mean, you know, I'm in them. I've seen them before.
You made them.
We made them.
It's your show.
But I really enjoy watching them. Watching Bob Bell and Roy Brown and Marshall Brodeen. The 1960s shows featured Don Sandberg.
Sandy?
Who was just a genius.
Sandy?
Just an absolute genius.
Never talked.
Mr. Ned Locke holds the whole thing together.
It was always fun when you watch the 60s and the 70s one, then back to back, and see Ned's weight loss and gain. His fluctuating weight.
Well, you know, he's a man.
He filled out the he filled out that little coat.
He's a human being, just like everyone else this time of year. So we ran those on Thanksgiving, but our 18th. I cannot believe that today will be the 18th year that we've run Bozo Gar and Ray WGN-TV Classics, the two-hour special that highlights three of the most popular children's television programs of all time.
That's your Sergeant Pepper.
Bozo Circus.
That show is your Sergeant Pepper.
It is. I think Victory Auto Records might be my Sergeant Pepper. Yeah. Bozo Circus, Garfield Goose and Friends, and Ray Rayner and his friends.
Everybody had friends.
Well, except you. They were just the best. Diver Dan, like all these classic shows that we grew up with.
Clutch Cargo, I mean, come on.
Clutch Cargo is included. You know, and people have said, well, what about people who didn't grow up in Chicago or people who are too young to have seen those shows? I hear from people all the time.
I was just going to say, because
over the past 18 years, people have said, my kids love watching these shows. My grandchildren are mesmerized watching these shows. They've never seen children's programming like this before.
There's nothing out
because everything is like bang, 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 so fast and furious now. And these shows just kind of, they let them breathe. And it's just kind of delightful. Plus, in addition, included in the special today is Hard Rock Coco and Joe, Susie Snowflake, and Frosty the Snowman.
Now Frosty was a snowman.
That's all part of the special presentation that'll be at 3 o'clock today on WGN-TV. In addition to WGN-TV, you also can watch it on our new WGN Plus app on Roku, Amazon Fire TV, and Apple TV.
Wow.
And it also will be streaming at WGNTV.com/live and also on the WGN News mobile app.
Oh, my gosh.
So plenty of ways.
You are multi-platform.
I am multi-platform.
Wow.
I am multi-platform today.
And that
you know, because a lot of people, they grew up in Chicago. They don't live here anymore. They live somewhere else. And, you know, we wanted to make sure that as many people could see it as possible. So,
do you ever know if there's people who are never from Chicago who never saw it in other cities who had then come upon it? Have you ever gotten any kind of feedback? Because I wonder how it plays to somebody who didn't grow up with it another city.
People can grow, you know, they had some kind of children's show that they grew up with.
Or even a Bozo.
So, or a Bozo, but not like ours.
No.
Nothing was like our Bozo show. Bob Bell, I'm sorry, you cannot beat Bob Bell. He's just the greatest. And Joey DiOrio also, you know, he was Bozo for 17 years.
Who was? Great.
Joey DiOrio.
He was that for that long?
Yeah. The show was on for 40 years.
But he did it that long?
Yeah.
So Bob Bell did it for how long?
20-something, whatever.
But wow, Joey DiOrio did it for 17 years. Yeah. I always thought of him as kind of like the last, you know, like
five. 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
No, much longer than that.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, 3 to 5 o'clock Central Time today. Bozo.
Right after the Bear game.
Right. Bozo. Go watch those clowns and then come watch our clowns. Bozo, Gar, and Ray, WGN TV Classics.
If you ever want to laugh, just stay tuned to that show and wait for the Goldilocks skit.
Goldilocks and the Three Bears.
Oh.
Classic. It's
laughing at it just now, thinking about it.
It's just. It's classic.
It's impossible not to cry when you watch it. Three guys just totally having fun. They're not even like they're on television. They're just making cracks.
Bob Bell said in one of his final interviews,
God.
He said, "We're not here," in his voice, "we're not here to teach ABCs.
Right.
We're not here. We're just here to have some fun. And if it works out today, great. And if it doesn't, we'll try it again tomorrow."
Oh, and I dare you not to cry at the very end of the show when the new Bozo meets Bob Bell.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's a great moment.
I literally tear up every time I see it.
3 o'clock today on my favorite TV station. We call it WGN Television.
WGN.
Talking about musicals, I was watching. A lot of people have been catching the brand new musical, Spirited, with Ryan Reynolds and Will Ferrell, that's on Apple TV Plus right now, and enjoying it. It's the Christmas Carol story adapted musically. It's kind of fun. It's like watching musical theater.
Does Will Ferrell sing?
Yes, and so does Ryan Reynolds, and so does Octavia Spencer. All out of their comfort zones, and it's fun. You know, it's irreverent. It's a little bit different, not as irreverent as the Christmas movie that's going to be opening this coming Friday.
I saw a thing for it on the highway, I think.
Violent Night.
They got Santa sitting like with this sinister look on his face.
Santa is like Bruce Willis
in
the Die Hard movies.
Yeah, I saw the billboard on the way in today.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's nice. Why is Santa, have you noticed the John Hamm commercial where he plays Santa? And then there's another Santa's like wearing smoking jackets now. I don't know when he became stylish. He's got this nice beard that's kind of grayish.
Yeah, you're the only one still wearing the same Santa suit for the last 40 years. Maybe I ought to think about taking that thing to the cleaners.
That would ruin the
few minutes.
That would ruin the ambiance of the garment.
Yeah. So anyway, people have been watching that. I saw a little bit of It's a Wonderful Life.
They had the marathon. I taped it.
One of the channels was doing a big marathon.
Yeah.
I like to watch it on Christmas Eve.
So do I.
I started
because that's when you always watched it.
Right. I started watching. It's like, I don't want to watch it now.
No, it's too early.
I don't want to watch it now.
It's too early.
But we are going to have some It's a Wonderful Life fun coming up in just a few minutes. Have you ever seen the production of It's a Wonderful Life live in Chicago?
No, I've done it. I was Mr. Potter about 15 years ago.
It's a Wonderful Life?
Yeah, but a stage play, not a musical or not the radio play, an actual play.
Yeah, this is a production that they've been doing for 21 years that is staged like old-time radio version. But it's it's the story that we all know, It's a Wonderful Life, and they do a terrific job. And some of the cast is going to be coming in as they've been doing it. I'll bet they've been coming here for about 20 years.
Wow.
Performing the show, portions of the show here in studio. So we'll have some fun with that coming up after 10:30. The production of A Christmas Carol at the Goodman opens this week. I mean, all the holiday shows are...
Well, now we're in full swing.
we're beginning to kick in. So we're lucky to have all of these things going on
here. And that's been going on at the Goodman for how many years?
40?
At least, yeah.
Maybe. I'm just taking a wild guess. I'm going to say something like that. I remember going to see it... as a kid, but a teenager, 20-year-old maybe.
Really?
Coming down. It was a big deal to come downtown and to go see a show.
I was surprised how early Marshall Fields, right? The Macy's horns were up on State Street. I came down to see Bono at the Chicago Theater on like November 8th, and they were already up. The whole State Street was already all lit up with the lights, and the horns were on Macy's. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
I thought I was early.
Yeah, I got to say, I think Macy's has pretty much held up the...
They've done a good job.
The holiday tradition, the windows. You know, it's still... I don't know if anyone's interested.
Do people... I mean, to your point, we used to come downtown to see the windows.
You would get dressed up.
It was a huge... Yeah, you went to dinner. I mean, it was a whole day.
Maybe
or a
go
lunch.
See a movie.
Yeah.
At one of the downtown theaters. Was a big deal,
but you definitely made a tradition.
And you
walk tradition.
You walk past the the windows at Marshall Fields then, and got to enjoy it. I wonder if I guess families still do it.
Well, I've gone to New York several times around this time, and in December actually went last year, and that is a big deal at the Macy's down like in Herald Square there. That's still, those windows are still a big deal, and they're very elaborate. I don't know if they're as elaborate down here as they are in New York, but that's still a tradition there, it seems. But I mean, I didn't really see anybody lined up on the windows when I was there, a couple of weeks ago.
Well, I mean, just, kids are so much more sophisticated now and on their phones and, creating their own digital worlds. Is it worth seeing?
Yeah, this little doll that just moves like 3 inches one way or the other and kind of waves at you. I mean, mechanical doll.
What were those little characters?
Wasn't it like Freddy? We could look that. Someone can Google that.
They were like little creepy.
They were very creepy, but they were cool.
What are those things?
They were the names. Yeah, I can't remember now.
Don't remember.
Swanee, don't you remember?
I'm trying to think. I was going to say though, last Wednesday afternoon when it was so nice out, a lot of people out downtown had a pretty good crowd around Macy's.
That's good.
Yeah, good. Yeah. That's good to hear. Anyway, we're going to get a little break for the news, and then when we come back, we'll have some fun with the cast of It's a Wonderful Life live in Chicago, all coming up next. Well, look at that. It's 10:36 already. And this is Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Elton Jim Toronto is here. Should I be calling you something different now that you are...
Well, in my thespian...
I've got many things that I call you behind your back.
I know. But in my thespian career, I go as James.
Oh, James.
Oh, yeah. There's
James
a whole
Toronto?
Thing. Oh, yeah. Like
not
in the
a middle
program,
initial
says,
or middle name? Or
no, just James. I go as James.
James Toronto. This was for your production of Who's Afraid of Virginia?
Most recently, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, BroadwayWorld.com nominated.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what that means, but I think anybody can get nominated, but at least it's nice.
Well, it's a good thing you're here then, because as we get into our theater segment today... with our pals with American Blues Theater presenting, I can't believe it, the 21st annual production of It's a Wonderful Life Chicago. I'm guessing maybe for most of those 21 years, the cast has come by the show and performed some of the scenes and done some of the songs. And Michael Mahler is the musical director of the show, the announcer on the show. You are the most senior member of this the group.
That happened somehow. Yeah. I don't know.
To both of us. So are you Freddie Fillmore?
Yeah.
Is that the name of the character? Is that what you use or no?
For the announcer?
Yeah.
Oh, I just go by Michael Mahler the 11th. I've been adding a year every year I've been on stage, so now it's up to the 11th.
Yeah. Introduce the cast members who you have brought with you here.
Oh,
today.
Yes, It's a Wonderful Life, starring Dara Cameron, Brandon Dahlquist, and Audrey Billings.
Nice to have you all here with us. Mary Bailey, right? George and Mary Bailey with us today, and Violet.
Yes, among others.
Among other characters.
Well, I don't ever have counted, but I think I have at least 8 or 9 characters.
Wow.
Yes.
I would think that would be kind of fun, though.
Oh, it's super fun. Yeah. Yes. And we add, Mike writes original jingles each year for different companies or restaurants or who sponsor the show. So this year we added a jingle for a restaurant right next door to the Chopin Theater where we are. So I get to be a little boy also. That was added to my
restaurant. It's worth the price of admission. Right?
just for the commercial.
Yep. Yes.
100%.
Well, this is all staged.
For any reason. Go for those.
This is all staged like an old-fashioned radio show.
Right, the 1940s.
1940s radio show. So it makes sense that there are commercials.
We take commercial breaks, and there's jingles, and we do sound effects with a Foley artist, just like back in the day they would have done.
Right,
it's really fun. You can come for the great story, and you can come to see the radio play happen in front of your eyes. It's a neat experience.
Well, they brought the sound effects to your studio.
We brought one of them. I don't want to give it away.
Okay.
Wait until the scene. What we do with a tin can.
Wait until the scene. Well, maybe, Mike, do you have a favorite commercial that you do?
Dean, I wrote one for you a couple of years ago. Do you remember that?
Well, we were talking about this during the break, that Mike was the final guest that we had on the show before the pandemic. Mike came here.
So it's his fault.
And the whole world shut down after Mike.
Sorry, everybody. Yeah,
after Mike
I'll be
was
going.
Here. But he wrote it.
Leave him wanting more.
He wrote a jingle for our show here.
Yeah, that's right. It was... Who do you choose for theater reviews? Hollywood news and celeb interviews. Sundays at 9, weekday mornings till 10. Watch Dean Richards on WGN.
Well, that.
Now, why don't you use that?
He's too expensive.
That was a big copyright there, I think.
We need money first.
That's right. Exactly right. And you gave me a lyric sheet. You sent me a lyric, autographed lyric sheet.
That's right. It'd be worth dozens of dollars.
It's on auction at Julian's right now.
Yeah.
When either you die or I die, that price is going to go way, way, way up there. So now, Mike, who's next seniority-wise?
Me, I think.
Yeah. That's right. It's your 10th
year. We started the same year, and I took 2 years off to do a couple other shows, but I just keep coming back. Yeah.
You keep bringing them back
in. Yeah, it's my 10th year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Brandon, how many years are you as George Bailey?
It is my 6th year performing the role, but I started 7 years ago. I also took a year off, but can't quit it.
Yeah. And?
3 years for me.
Yeah.
Audrey
started.
And I started in the pandemic, so my first time doing the show was on Zoom.
That's when you were doing the show virtually.
We were doing it live on Zoom.
It was a really surreal way to enter Bedford Falls.
Or Bedford Falls entered our house is probably a better way to say it.
Probably a better way to say it.
How crazy. The official opening of the show
is today.
It's in today.
About 3 hours. Mm-hmm.
It's a Wonderful Life live in Chicago at the Chopin Theater this year. Lovely theater. Pretty much done the same way.
Yeah, every year's a little bit different, but people come back year after year because it is such a lovely tradition. We had a group in the house last night that they've been coming for 7 years. There was one of the kids was celebrating his 19th birthday, and he had started coming when, he was 12.
Oh,
it was very sweet. Yeah.
Grandma gave him a nice little shout-out. Yeah, they do audiograms, so the audience can write little messages to each other, and his grandma really embarrassed him, which is always great.
That's cool. That's what grandmas and uncles and aunts are.
Absolutely, the best part of the holiday. Shame.
Brandon, what's it like for you? I mean, this is one of the most iconic roles of all time.
Yeah.
Thanks to the Jimmy Stewart motion picture. Jimmy who?
It's a real treat. It's a gift to get to do. I have such reverence for the film and for the story and the themes of community and taking care of your village. It just, it means a lot to me to get to do it every year, and a lot of responsibility. You don't want to, you know, impersonate the great Jimmy Stewart, but
right. But do you also, but it, when you do an iconic role like that, don't you also, do you try to at least include a little so that people, because it has such
affectation,
people have such a connection.
I found it's a slippery slope if you do that too much.
Too much,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
It's a fine line, right?
Yeah,
the audience brings so much to the story. They know the film so well. A lot of them know the film so well, right, that they can kind of fill in those gaps. Our director, Wendy Whiteside, kind of encouraged me my first year to not watch the movie. Uh-huh. Don't do anything.
Mm-hmm. Wait, had you not seen the movie?
Oh, no. My grandfather showed it to me. I'd seen it. I love the film.
I haven't seen it since we started doing it. Wow. I haven't watched it.
I collect the Bedford Falls.
Because you don't want to be affected by it?
No, it's just I've seen it so many times.
Sick of line from Pee Wee Herman? I don't have to see it, Dottie.
No, but there is something. Yeah, there's something to bring it. I think Brandon does such a beautiful job of inhabiting the character. And the lines are so iconic. And we have so many of those lines that you hear the cadence in your head. Right. But yeah, he has like that touch of that like kind of nostalgic era. Yeah. He does a really lovely job.
Oh,
I mean, to be the 19-year-old last night actually came up to me because he was speaking with other people. And he was like, I have been coming here for 6 years, or 7 years, I guess. And he said, I can't watch the movie anymore without recasting Jimmy Stewart as Brandon.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
I was
like,
that's so sweet.
It's a pretty cool, thing. No, I won't. But there is one line where I have a hard time not sounding like Jimmy Stewart. And he's when he's talking to Mr. Potter about how Potter saved the town during the Great Depression. And he says, well, I saved everything else. And I say, well, most people say you stole everything else. It's hard to not. Yeah, that's stole.
The suckers.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah.
They're going to do a couple of scenes for us here when we come back from the break. It's A Wonderful Life live in Chicago is at the Chopin Theater this year, which is 1543 West Division Street. Tickets at AmericanBluesTheater.com or by calling 773-654-3103. We'll be right back with more from It's a Wonderful Life live in Chicago. We have Derek Cameron here today as Violet, Brandon Dahlquist as George Bailey, Audra Billings as Mary Bailey, Michael Mahler, their musical director, here with us as well. And what scene are you guys going to do for us, sir?
We have the scene that ends sort of the first act, or the first third of our show, and it's, we call it the phone call scene, which you'll see why. Mike plays Sam Wainwright calling in.
Hee-haw.
Hee-haw, Sam Hee-haw. Wainwright calling in, and it's sort of right before Mary and George fall in love. You know, that we get to see their love blossom. And I get to be an annoying mom.
Here they are from It's a Wonderful Life live in Chicago.
Hello, Sam. How are you?
Oh, great. Gee, it's good to hear your voice again.
You know, it's rude to talk on the phone when you have a guest over.
Oh, well, that's awfully sweet of you, Sam.
You know, it's rude to
There's
talk
an old
on the
friend
phone.
Of yours here, George Bailey.
Old Mossback George?
Yes, old Mossback George.
Hee-haw! Well, put him on. I'll talk to him, too.
Wait a minute. I'll call him. George!
Oh, he doesn't want to speak to George, you idiot.
He does so. He asked for him. George, Sam wants to speak to you.
Oh, well, hello, Sam.
Well, George Bailiofsky, fine pal you are, trying to steal my girl.
You know, what do you mean? Nobody's trying to steal anybody's girl. Now, here's Mary.
No, wait a minute. I want to talk to both of you. Tell Mary to get on the extension.
He says to get on the extension?
Mother's on the extension.
I
am not.
We can both hear. Come here, George. We're listening, Sam.
I have a big deal coming up that's going to make us all rich. George, remember when you told me about making plastics out of soybeans?
Huh? Soybeans, yeah.
Well, Dad snapped up the idea. He's going to build a factory outside of Rochester. How do you like that?
Rochester? You know, why Rochester? You know, why not right here? You remember the old tool and machinery works? You tell your father he could get that place for a song. Well, and all the labor he wants, too. You know, half this town was thrown out of work when they closed it down.
That's so? That sounds great. Oh, baby, I knew you'd come through. I may have a job for you, George. That is, unless you're still married to the old broken-down building and loan. Hey, Mary?
I'm here.
You tell that guy I'm giving him the chance of a lifetime, you hear?
He says it's the chance of a lifetime.
Here, hang that thing up. Now, you listen to me, Mary. I don't want any plastics, and I don't want any help, and I don't want to get married ever to anyone. Do you understand that? I want to do what I want to do, and you're not going to... Well, and you're not gonna...
George?
Oh, Mary.
George.
You're just getting steamy there. It's a Wonderful Life After Dark.
About to transpire.
You've got a rating on the show.
It's a family show.
It's G-rated.
It's very kid-friendly.
Well, George has to lasso Stork.
That's right.
That's right.
So you guys do, I mean, it's a real holiday experience for people to come here. You also do, like, songs.
Yeah.
Christmas songs.
Yeah, before the show, we kind of warm up the audience, you know, inviting them into our studio. And we have carols that we sing together and quiz shows. And it's a whole experience.
Yeah, you got a little sample of that?
Absolutely. Yeah, this is the song that we sing together at the top of the show to make sure the microphones are all warmed up and working. So here we go.
Snow.
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 Snow. It won't be long before we'll all be there with snow.
Snow. I want to wash my hands, my face, my hair with snow.
Snow. I long to clear a path and lift a spade of snow.
Snow. Oh, to see a great big man entirely made of snow.
Snow. Where it's snowing all winter through, that's where I want to be.
Snowball throwing, that's what I'll do. How I'm longing to ski through the snow.
Those glistening houses that seem to be built of snow.
Snow, oh, to see a mountain covered with a quilt of snow. What is Christmas with no snow?
No white Christmas with no,
no snow.
Snow,
snow.
I'll soon be there with snow. I'll wash my hair with snow.
And with a spade of snow, I'll build a man that's made of snow.
I'd like to stay up with you, but I recommend a little shut-eye, go to sleep and dream of snow.
Snow.
That's fantastic.
From White Christmas.
I don't know if you're channeling Jimmy Stewart, but you're definitely channeling a little Bing Crosby.
Well, that's from White Christmas.
That's the OG for me. Yeah. I love Der Bingle.
Der Bingle.
No doubt about it.
Der Bingle.
Nothing wrong with that. This show is just so much fun to see for a variety of reasons. It is at the... Chopin Theater this year. You're going to have your own theater next year, right?
That's right. That's right. Construction is already underway. We're raising the remaining funds, and we're so excited to move into our new permanent home next year.
That's going to be fantastic. But in the meantime, the Chopin's a great spot. 1543 West Division in Chicago. It's running through December 23rd, starting today. And you can get tickets at 773-654-3103, or if you go to AmericanBluesTheater.com, you can get more information as well. Now, it's always been tradition, Brandon, that you and I do.
That's my big moment, Dean.
My favorite scene together, where I get to play Mr. Potter and say my favorite line from the play. Mm-hmm. But since Elton Jim is here today, and he has actually played Mr. Potter.
I have played Mr. Potter
in previous productions.
Oh, so we're going to do this?
It's like the multiverse here.
Of It's a Wonderful Life. So I'm going to pass the Potter baton over to Elton Jim.
This is a big moment.
To join.
It's basically just that one line, though.
It's basically. What do you want? A starring role? It's the best line.
Just a little lead in.
The best line of the whole
thing. No, okay.
It's a heck of a line, though.
That is. All right.
Guys, close us out.
All right. Well, I'm going home, Bert. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, Bedford Falls. Oh, Merry Christmas, you wonderful old building and loan. Hey, Merry Christmas, Mr. Potter.
And Happy New Year to you.
in jail.
It's my favorite line. Saddest monkey.
Perfect.
I have goosebumps right now.
No notes.
Our theater segment sponsored by Chicago Symphony Orchestra's Cantilever Christmas.